Market View on Money FM 89.3.
This was meant to be the biggest IPO in history, with Ant Group, the Chinese fintech behemoth, preparing to raise about $35 billion in a mega dual listing in both Shanghai and Hong Kong. That was stopped dead in its tracks about 2 days before shares were set to start trading in both Shanghai and Hong Kong. Well, this itself was the result of some regulatory issues. How big of a deal was the decision to halt Ant Group's planned IPO? What kind of ripples will this send through both the greater Chinese financial sector? And well, today on Money FM 89.3, to recap all of this, we're joined by Mr. Sanjay Jain, who's the head of financials at Aletheia Capital, to talk to us about how big of a deal this actually will be. Mr. Jain, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health. And welcome to the show for the first time, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure.
When I was looking at the decision by Chinese regulators to suspend the listing of Ant Group, they did require them to comply with certain new stipulations. One of them that really caught my eye, though, was that the fintech juggernaut Ant Group now needs to cover at least 30% of the loans offered on their platform from a previous 2%. Now, perhaps Ant Group has the firepower to cover this, perhaps they don't, but do you think they have enough ammunition to meet these significantly higher requirements? And also, how much of a hit might this actually have on their projections and their cash banks?
Sure. So this basically has three implications for Ant Group. One is profitability, second is on growth, and third is on valuations. Ironically, in profitability terms, it would actually improve, because right now when Ant is lending to a consumer at 15%, they are sharing some 11% with the bank, and bank is making some profit on that 11% which goes to them. That profit on the 30% of loans which Ant will do itself will stick with or will remain with Ant Group. So profitability in reported terms will actually improve. The second aspect is growth. This is where the hit could come, not necessarily by these new regulations, but simply by the fact that now regulatory microscope is on the online fintech sector as a whole. It is clearly the case that regulators do not want the online fintechs to become too big. The third aspect, which is the key from Ant's perspective, I think, is valuation. So now Ant will be treated like a regular lender. And this stream, the lending stream of Ant, generated 39% of revenue, but 64% of profit in our estimate. So it was the biggest pot of profit. And now that will get a lower multiple simply because you are now taking risk from an agency or intermediary business. It becomes a risk-taking business. And investors just do not like that, particularly in market like China. Valuation will definitely suffer.
This is in relation also to my next question. The big contention from Ant Group also is that they wanted to be classified as more a tech firm than a financial firm. This is the message they actually had to convey to the analyst when they were courting analysts. They wanted more tech analysts than financial analysts to cover Ant Group. And some say that it was because Ant wanted those higher valuations. In your opinion, though, how should Ant be viewed? It's obvious they're a bit of a hybrid between financial and tech at the moment, but do you think that they are more tech or more financial at this point?
Yeah, so clearly every company would like to get technology sector valuation rather than financial sector. And particularly look at, you know, the banks in China, they are trading at 5x PE. Nobody would like to be valued like a bank. So it's no surprise that Ant Group wanted to be covered by tech analysts. And to be fair, they are at the cutting edge of technology. I mean, they're absolutely at the leading edge. However, I think the technology applied more to the payment stream, which is their real starting point. Whereas, as I said, nearly 2/3 of profit came from the lending side alone. And on top of that, the rest of the profits came from investment, which is wealth management and insurance broking. So 100% plus of the profit coming from the fintech side, whereas the payment business by itself is loss-making. To my mind, that qualifies to be a fintech rather than a tech fin or a technology firm.
So more financial than technology, you think?
No, I think technology is at a level which is significantly ahead of a regular finance firms. But it is ultimately being monetized through financial products, financial services. So I think it qualifies as a fintech only if you consider the payment stream. I would have said maybe it is real technology.
We talked about the valuations being impacted. What do you think this might mean for investors, such as the institutional ones, like, say, GIC and Temasek, and also those retail investors who already placed funds towards Ant Group? Have their funds actually been returned? And does this have an impact, at least, on their outlook moving forward?
Yeah, so all the investors have received their money back. I think it happened literally the next day once the IPO was suspended. So to that extent, a retail investor would have probably paid interest on their borrowing for a few days, but that's it. For the large investors, I mean, their subscription amount was returned as well, but probably there are large investors, potentially including GIC, Temasek, who had bought in the earlier rounds. So this is clearly not a great development for them. The IPO valuation was $315 billion. In the gray market, it was trading at 50% premium to that. So at the time of IPO, it was already that time bigger than JP Morgan, which was otherwise the biggest financial services market cap in the world. And it would have become 50% bigger than JP Morgan on listing. So I think if regulators had planned to come out with regulations which would have affected Ant significantly, then it is better that they did it before the IPO, before the listing, rather than after, because after that, then all the investors would have lost money. Right now, only the people who invested in the previous rounds, or especially the 2018 round, are at some risk. My estimate of Ant valuation after this change is anywhere between $200 to $260 billion. So that's the range. And 2018 round was $150 billion valuation. So I think even the 2018 round investors are safe.
Fair enough. We're soon speaking to Mr. Sanjay Jain, the head of financials at Aletheia Capital, to take stock of the sudden suspension of Ant Group's mega IPO. Do you think, Mr. Jain, that Chinese authorities were right to tighten the screws on Ant and consequently other online lenders based on the state and current health of Chinese financial firms? And what does this say overall with regards to the state of the broader financial sector in China? We've been hearing rumblings, at least, of possible credit risks that could spill over into the banks, for instance. Can you perhaps tie together or help us understand this picture as to how risky the landscape is for both online lenders and traditional lenders in China at the moment, given that decision to scupper the IPO at the 11th hour?
Sure. So there are two questions here, I think. First is on the online guys vis-a-vis the traditional banking system or financial system, if you include the wealth management and the insurance broking business of Ant. And the second side is the view on risks and asset quality on the banking system itself. So on the first one, I think regulators got a little worried that the online guys were becoming too big. They were disrupting or disintermediating a substantial part of the bank's consumer lending income, and to a lesser extent, wealth management income and bank assurance related fee income. So at some point of time, which was now, regulators decided that this is enough. We do not want a further disruption. If you look at the lending side, which was the biggest portion being impacted from the banking system, the loans of fintechs are about 3 trillion yuan, which is less than 2% of the banking system loans. So they were not that big in that sense. And in the case of Ant, we can say, looking at the size of the loan, they were increasing financial inclusion. They were lending to borrowers who were not being lent or who were not being serviced to a large extent by the banks themselves, because for banks, it was uneconomical to lend to a Huobi customer who was borrowing 2,000 yuan, which is $300, or to a Jiebei customer who was borrowing 8,000 yuan, hardly just above $1,000. So banks were ignoring some of these segments, but maybe the regulator thought the amount of income which has been disintermediated out of the banking system is enough. Now they will kind of like monitor the growth and slow down its progress. I think the investment wealth management side and the insurance broking side will probably continue. The focus of regulators was mainly on the lending side. So that side, I think, will remain relatively constrained in its growth now. coming to the other question on risks, I think other than real estate, which the government can easily control, I don't see significant risks. But you know, as in China, as you know, government can manage the risks a lot better in, you know, local government lending or SOE lending. SME is the one where, and retail is the one where they would struggle a little bit, but they use banks as policy tools. So it can, if they work together, the risks can be managed.
So Mr. Sanjay Jain, Head of Financials at the Lithia Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to help us recap exactly the details with regards to Ant Group's scuppered IPO and what it might actually mean for the greater financial sector in China. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain times. And we look forward to the next time we can have you back on the broadcast, sir. In the meantime, stay safe and have a great week ahead.
Thank you very much. Same to all of you and your listeners.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.